Sure, tell me, would you get 63 and short number 11 on your list?
Number 11?
Did you have a copy of that one? Ladies and gentlemen, he said our disagreement on the focus of the passage is just a hair of the disagreement. That's his judgment, but I don't agree with that judgment. The focus of the passage is man's subjection to Christ, the woman's subjection to man, with a special emphasis on woman having the token of that subjection on her head. The focus of the passage is not the covering. The covering is simply the token that the woman is to have to show she's in subjection to man, and the man is not to have it to show that he is in subjection to Christ. If you ask me why is it that way, all I know is God said it. That's all I can tell you about that, but there's a lot of difference in our views as to the focus of the passage. He said praying and prophesying proves that there are two coverings. And this has been his main argument throughout the debate, that praying and prophesying proves there are two coverings here. Praying and prophesying, ladies and gentlemen, does not prove there are two coverings here. All permanent situations in any category of things will include every temporary thing in that category. If you have a permanent covering, it will include all temporary situations like praying and prophesying. He said praying and prophesying just can't be fitted into my position. Well, I want to show you that he's wrong in regard to that. When Paul said every man praying or prophesying and every woman praying or prophesying, and understand, I don't believe we have any men or women who prophesy today, because when prophecy is used in the Bible in relation to one speaking for God, it always involves inspiration and revelation, and we don't have that today. I know they're false prophets, I'm not talking about that, but prophecy is in relation to God. It involves inspiration and revelation. So we don't have any of those today, so I'm not going to talk about that. I'm going to talk about praying that we do have today. Every man praying and every woman praying simply tells him what kind of man or woman he's discussing. In this passage, he's not discussing a man that doesn't pray, and he's not discussing a woman that doesn't pray. He's simply telling men and women who pray, if you want your prayers to be heard and answered, and to glorify God, man, you be uncovered, and woman, you be covered. And that does fit into my position, and I believe you can see that it does. He next said, if only one covering, there's no reason to say pray. But I've just shown you that there is a reason to say pray. Praying identified the kind of man and woman he was addressing, and this church was addressed to the Church of God at Corinth. Pat asked me a question tonight, whether he will read it or not, I don't know and don't care, but would it be a sin for a man who's not a Christian to be covered, or for a woman who's not a Christian to be uncovered? And I answered yes. But that wasn't specifically what Paul was talking about. But since man who's not a Christian is in the image of God, he ought not to be covered for that reason. But Paul was not addressing that kind of man in our passage. He was talking to people that were on praying grounds with God, and he's telling them that there's no need to come to God in prayer if you men are going to have the covering of this passage. There's no reason for them to come to God in prayer if you're not going to be covered with the covering. And in connection with that very admonition about praying, he makes reference to her three times. That ought to have some significance. Then he said, Mr. Jenkins said verse 15 does not prove the covering. He said, Mr. Jenkins said verse 5 doesn't prove the covering. Mr. Jenkins said verse 6 doesn't prove the covering. I wonder what does it say? Well, what Mr. Jenkins was asked was, does verse 15 alone prove that hair is the covering? Does verse 5 alone prove it? Does verse 6 alone prove it? And I said, no, in answer to what does, all of these verses, the entire context put together, as I showed you in my first speech, is what covering is. So saying Mr. Jenkins said verse 15 does not prove it is not exactly what Mr. Jenkins said. Mr. Jenkins said verse 15 by itself. That means unrelated to, without any connection to anything else, doesn't prove it. Certainly verse 15 by itself doesn't prove what's been talking about. Back up another verse. You have to take the other verses into consideration. He said that if I'm going to tell you that hair is the covering in these previous verses, I ought to prove it, and that there is just no way that it could be any other way. He used the word clue in there. He said, don't just give a clue, but show that all others are ruled out. And I'd like to call upon you to do the same thing, Pat. You're going to say that prayer necessitates an artificial covering. Show me how every other covering is absolutely ruled out when the very verses that tell women that they're to be covered and men they're to be uncovered relates it to the length of their hair. I'll leave in the first speech. I gave you more than a clue. I showed you that Paul was showing that a woman is to be a subjection to man. He tells her she's to have some kind of a covering on her head. In talking about that covering, he mentioned hair five times. Four times, that is. He asked a question about the hair making the fifth time. About the covering making the fifth time, which he answers with long hair two times, making a total of seven times that he makes reference to hair in these verses where he's talking about a covering. And Pat hasn't found a verse yet that makes reference to an artificial covering. So at least long hair is in the context of this discussion of covering. An artificial covering is not, but he says he knows one's there because it says pray. He's simply telling men and women, if you're going to pray, you better recognize the line of subjectivity, that there's God, Christ, man, and woman, and you better keep that line of subjectivity straight, and if you don't, your prayers are not going to do any good. He quoted from Alfred and said getting ready to his chart 11, and he said that was a good explanation of his view on that, and I appreciate that. He said it didn't prove it, so I'm not going to bother to look at it. That was simply showing that Alfred agrees with Pat, and Pat agrees with Alfred, but since Alfred's no proof, that really does nothing more than show the two agree. Like I told him when he introduced that down in Birmingham, I could quote from Burton Kaufman, who would be a little closer, I guess, than Alfred, since at one time he was a gospel preacher, and show that Burton Kaufman agrees with me. But that wouldn't mean anything, but Burton Kaufman, that wrote a commentary on the First Corinthians, agreed with me, so I'm not even going to bother to do it. Let me see his chart number, Dylan, please. Look at this. Verse 5 mentions shorn or shaven, and it mentions uncovered. Shorn or shaven, verse 5 and 6 are wrong. Uncovered in those verses are wrong. Therefore, he concludes that being uncovered is different than shorn or shaven. Let me ask you a question, Pat, and dear friends. Is the woman that is shorn or shaven also uncovered? I know Paul here was talking about there is something in between the long hair and the shorn or shaven that is the uncovered state. That would be hair like I have. But that does not say that this is different from this. Shaven is still uncovered. Shorn is still uncovered. Not having long hair is still uncovered. Paul simply mentions the fact there that if she's going to be uncovered into any of these ways, she'd just as well to make it the shortest possible and the shaven. He said, uncovered is different than shaven, but shaven is also uncovered, if you look at it. Shorn is different from shaven, but being shorn is also uncovered. He says uncovered is different from not having long hair, different than having long hair, uncovered different than not having long hair. Okay, then uncovered is different from hair like mine. I guess I'll miss that. Looks like it'll be uncovered is different than having long hair. Uncovered is different than not having long hair. He says covered is different from long hair. Covered is not different than long hair. One is not sort of shaven. A hair like mine, when it's covered, it has long hair. I don't believe that he has anything on that particular chart, unless it's right here where I'm not getting the sense of it. He can tell me about that when he comes up. If it is uncovered, it's different than not having long hair. I don't have long hair, and that's different than being uncovered, but my hair is uncovered, so it's the same as not having long hair. All right. He said that his position was parallel to Mark 11:25. So when he sticks the veil in, it fits 11:25. I mean, it fits 1 Corinthians 11:25. But he said if we stick long hair in, Mark 11:25 does not fit 1 Corinthians 11. And let me show you that he is just exactly mistaken on that also. When you stand praying, forgive. That says you do it on this occasion. Other verses say do it at other times. In 1 Corinthians 11 and verses 5 and 6, 4 and 5, when a man prays and when a woman prays, they're to be respectively uncovered and covered. But in that same context, it shows that man's to be uncovered at other times, namely when he prophesies. Woman's to be covered at another time when she prophesies. Man's to be uncovered all the time, he's in the image and glory of God. And woman's to be covered all the time, he's in the image and glory of God. So it fits Matthew 11:25. He says forgiving is something that can be done on an occasion. And having long hair is something that can be done on an occasion also. I know women that have it on occasions they don't. I know he's saying, well, you can't have it one morning when you pray and then not have it. I mean, you can't not have it one morning and then have it that evening. You can't go long hair in a day. I know that, but some occasions are longer than other occasions. Surely we recognize that. The point is, long hair is something that a woman can put on and take off, put on and take off, put on and take off, just like she can put on a belt and take off. It just takes longer to do it. And so his argument reduces itself to how long does it take to put it on and off. That's what his argument reduces itself to, to get right down to it. Let me see your questions, please. He used the white vest argument again and said that if I was consistent, I'd have to say that the woman had to wear the white dress all the time to show her virginity. Well, I don't really see that he had an argument there. But since the custom is to wear a white dress at a wedding to show one's virginity, I don't know how anyone can conclude from that custom that she ought to have it all the time, since the custom is and only is to wear it at her wedding. I've shown you from 1 Corinthians 11 that woman is to have the covering of consideration there all of the time. He said, if a man shaved his head, then truly repented. If a woman shaved her head, truly repented, could she get subjection to man without having long hair? Yes, she could be in subjection to man, but she could not have the token unless she got some artificial hair. And by the way, about this covering, I'd like for you to tell us, if a woman wears a wig, if she has an artificial covering that would satisfy you when she's praying. I'd like you to tell us about that. All right. I have let Pat do what I knew I was going to let him do, but what I'm not comfortable with. He got in the affirmative and put me in the negative, but I felt that I had to answered what he had to say. At least we've still been on the subject. And I've been on the disproving end of it all. This speech, the proving end of it. And I believe he made a better proving speech tonight than he did in any one of the three last night. Next debate, I've used this material in the first affirmative speech. Let's look back at the text now and see what it says. And this I have now, for four nights, counting this one, tried to get you to do that. Get the text and go through it verse by verse, and the closest you've come to that is to read it, and then you skip some of the verses. I have only 5 minutes, but that will be enough time to do what I want to do. I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. What do you think that's talking about, friends? A covering or subjection? Every woman praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonors his head. What do you think that's talking about? A covering or subjection? Well, it mentions both, but he's developing the subject of subjection. Every woman praying or prophesying with her head uncovered dishonors her head. It mentions covering, but he's developing his argument on subjection. If a woman be not covered, let her be shorn, for it's a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven. If it is, let her be covered. He mentions covering, but he's developing his argument on subjection. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of man. He mentions covering, but he's developing the idea of man's subjection because he's the glory of God and woman is the glory of man, thus subject to him. Then he talks about the woman being of the man and the woman being created for the man, and she ought to have the covering because of the angels. And then he gets down to asking a question about the woman being covered. It would seem to me, and I don't know whether it will to you or not, you'll have to decide that. It would seem to me that after Paul talked about a covering for 9 verses, and then asked a question about that covering using the same Greek word that Pat has been fond of talking of, katakalupto. He talked about a katakalupto covering, inferred in 4, named in 5, named in 6, named in 7, asked a question about that katakalupto covering, same word, in verse 13. And then answers the question that he asked about the katakalupto covering, about woman being covered with the katakalupto covering, by saying a man ought not to have long hair and a woman ought to have long hair. That's the plain, I don't know how anyone can miss it. If Paul had talked about a covering for 9 verses, asked a question about the katakalupto covering and said, a man ought not to have a veil and a woman ought to have a veil, I think we could understand that the answer he gave related to the question he asked and thus to the subject that he had been discussing. Just so we ought to be able to see. Since he talked about this covering for 9 verses, asked a question about a woman being covered, and answered his own question by saying that a man ought not to have long hair and a woman ought to have long hair, it does seem we ought to see that he is answering the question he asked. And the question he asked was about a katakalupto covering. That the question he asked was about a perimelon covering. The question he asked was about a katakalupto covering. He said that her long hair is given to spar, or you say that means to serve as, and that satisfies me, a perimelon. So her hair was given to serve as a covering. It talked about a covering for some 9 verses, asked a question and answered with a veil, and said a veil is given to serve as her covering. I don't believe that I would argue that long hair was what he'd been talking about all the time in the years. Just so he talked about a covering for 9 verses, asked a question about the woman being covered, and said that her long hair was given to serve as a covering. In fact, Pat's already said the fact that he changed words makes no difference because he said perimelon and katakalupto are used interchangeably. I don't really believe they are in this context for the record, but Pat says that they are, and so I'm not going to argue that with him. I'm arguing from the standpoint of what he believes on it. Since they're used interchangeably, it makes no difference. that Eve used the word. He asked a question about a Carcalypto country and answered that a man ought not to have long hair and a woman ought to have long hair. If that doesn't tell you what it's been talking about, my friends and my brethren, I don't know how we could learn what a passage is talking about. Woman is to be in subjection to man. She's to have some kind of a covering on her head showing that subjection. This covering is named as long hair that she's to have as a token showing her subjection. And that is what the passage says, and I thank you.
An intermission now for about 5 or 6 minutes.
Okay, it's very hard to try to get to all the material that's been brought out, but I do my very best. Where I left off in my last speech is I was reading my question for him, number one, and I'll read that again because I don't feel like I made it very clear. I asked him, if a woman shaved her head and then truly repented of it, could she be in subjection to man without having long hair? He said yes. And when he said yes, he admitted that the reason is not necessarily equal to the wind in 1 Corinthians 11. He's been saying she's to be in subjection all the time. Therefore, that shows she's to have the long hair all the time. But he's admitted now she can be in subjection without having the long hair. Because, see, the covering is a symbol of her subjection, and it does not have to be there all the time any more than the symbol of a woman's virginity. The white dress at the wedding has to be there the whole time she is a virgin. Then, now let me try to take up with this. His last speech, the first thing he said in his last speech was he tried to explain how the disposition could fit the long hair, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 5. He said all permanent situations include all temporary. That's true, but he's still missing my point. Point number 8. We put up this chart last night, I believe. It is true that all permanent situations would include temporary, but it does not make sense that Paul would tell somebody to be covered for an occasion if it was not possible to be covered just for that occasion. That does not make any sense. These sentences will illustrate that. We went over them last night. Ethel be sure and wear a red dress while at the Alabama football game tomorrow. Does that make sense? Yes. Ethel be sure and be skinny while at the Alabama football game tomorrow. Does that make sense? Everybody here can see that doesn't make sense. Why not? Because it does not make sense to exhort or command somebody to do something that's a permanent thing just for an occasion. Skinny is all the time. It doesn't make any sense to command Ethel to do that for an occasion. Do you see that? That's why it doesn't make any sense, I'm convinced. And that's why sticking the long hair in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 5 won't make any sense. It does not make any more sense than this sentence. Let's dip on down to this one. Bobby, be sure and be good while at Grand Daddy's house on Saturday. Does that make sense? Yes, that's parallel to sticking the veil in 1 Corinthians 11, 5, where he's been covered. Bobby, be sure and be physically tall while at Grand Daddy's house on Saturday. Does that make any sense? No. That's parallel to sticking the long hair in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 5, because it doesn't make any sense to tell Bobby to be tall at Granddaddy's house because that's a permanent thing, and needs to tell him to do it for an occasion. That doesn't make any sense. Everybody in here can see that. And we can talk about this all day long. No matter how much you talk about that, anybody can see that. Bobby sure could see it. If I told Bobby to be tall at Granddaddy's house on Saturday, he'd go, what? Wait a minute, Pat. That doesn't make any sense. Everybody here can see that doesn't make any sense. And you can tell that it doesn't make any sense to stick the long hair in 1 Corinthians 11, 5. Why would Paul say to have long hair when a woman prays and prophesies? She got the long hair all the time. It doesn't make any sense. Stand and be sure and be covered with a hood while outside riding your bike. That makes perfectly good sense. Stand and be sure and have long hair while outside riding your bike today. Does not make any sense. You need to be sure and be covered with a veil while praying. It makes perfectly good sense because you can put it on the veil for the occasion. Lucy, be sure and have long hair while praying. That doesn't make any sense to me. I don't know about you, but it does to Mr. Jenkins. Why do these sentences not make any sense? It doesn't make any sense for me to person be skinny when I tell them football game be tall with granddaddy's house, have long hair while riding your bike, and have long hair while praying, because these things are permanent relative to the time of the occasion. Let's move on very quickly, so we never have enough time. Then he gave, Mr. Jenkins did, a reason for the significance. Remember I told you in my last speech, I told you, that if Mr. Jenkins' position is true, there is no significance to the phrase, pray and prophesy. Well, let me read my question for him last night, number three. You know what he gave as the significance of the phrase praying or prophesying in his speech? He said, well, that tells you that it's a Christian. And he said this in our last debate. That tells you that it's a Christian that is the one being talked about. But, according to that view, then Paul would only be telling Christian women that they had to be covered. And according to that view, raise it up, Tommy. According to that view, raise it up. According to that view, it would only be that Christian men are made in the image and glory of God, verse 7. But non-Christian men are not in the image and glory of God. This is only talking about the Christian. That doesn't make any sense. As a matter of fact, I asked him the question, is your position that it is not a sin for a non-Christian woman to have shorn or shaven hair? He said, no. He said, no. So he said, the significance of that phrase, pray and prophesy, Pat, and that tells you he's talking about a Christian. But then I said, you mean it's not a sin for a non-Christian to have short, shaven hair? He said, no, I'm not saying that. It's a sin for them too. So we're back again to the fact that there's no significance to the phrase. No significance whatsoever. He said the significance was that it shows that it's talking about a Christian. But he said, no, but this passage applies to non-Christians as well. So again, we see there is no significance. Lower down, Tom. So I'll just read the top of my chart. Why did Paul say praying or prophesying if it doesn't make any difference if my opponent infects him? It doesn't make any difference. He believes it's talking about Christians and non-Christians. They're both amenable to this passage. You can leave these phrases out, praying or prophesying, and his position would be taught the same. But my position is taught when you put the phrases back in. According to his view, there's no real significance to these phrases in verse 4, 5, and 13. So I'm going to put up 41. And then he made reference to the fact that hair is mentioned in verses 5 and 6 three times. All right, I'm going to deal with that in a moment. First, let me say this. Everybody turn to 1 Corinthians 11. In 1 Corinthians 11, verses 5 and 6, Mr. Jenkins' position is, he's saying that Paul is saying to the women, if you're going to be uncovered, that is, if you're not going to have long hair, you might as well be shaven. Or if you're not going to have long hair, you might as well be shorn or shaven. Well, Mr. Jenkins, I don't want to know. Why didn't he just say it that way? If your position is true, why didn't he just say it that way? There would have been no problem for Paul just to say, Corinthian women, if you're not going to have long hair, you might as well, or it's just as bad as if you had shorn or shaven hair. He could have said that. He used the term long hair twice. Remember, you pointed that out. Verses 14 and 15. Why didn't he use the word long hair in verses 5 and 6? And that's what your position is. Why didn't he just say it that way? I want to know if Mr. Jenkins' position is true, that verses 5 and 6 is talking about the long hair, that Paul is saying, hey, if you're not going to have long hair, that's just as bad as if you were shorn or shaven. Why didn't he say it that way? Why didn't he say, women, if you're not going to have long hair, just as bad as if you're shorn or shaven? He didn't say it that way. He said, if you're not covered, that's just as bad. The catacaluco cover, not the terrible lion cover. If you're not catacaluco covered, that's just as bad as if you're shorn or shaven. See? There is nothing in his position, in my estimation, when you show and look at that explanation for us. In chart number 68, very quickly. I want 69 and 39 after that. Okay, lower down just a little. He mentioned again, as he did last night, the other debate about long hair being mentioned. And he didn't mention about seven times this time, but he said it's mentioned, or the hair is mentioned three times in verses 5 and 6. But I can show that doesn't prove anything, just like I showed last night, that the fact that hair is mentioned seven times, no passage that proves anything. Does not prove anything that the hair is mentioned three times in verses 5 and 6. You know, this helps a person's position just to figure out how many times something is referred to. Watch this. I guess the covering is the man, because man is referred to 14 times. That's twice as many as seven. No, wait a minute. No, the covering is the woman, because woman is referred to 16 times. That's even more. This is totally irrelevant. But you say, Pat, raise that thumb. That's absurd. You must look at the relation of those words in context of covering. I respond exactly. As a matter of fact, my opponent would admit that every verse, 1 Corinthians 11, 2 through 16, and I'm referring to verses 5 and 6 when I say that, that mentions the catacluco covering, and that also refers to the hair, teaches that the covering is different than the hair that verse refers to. Raise it, Thomas. The number of times something is referred to is essentially irrelevant. The veil is proven three times by the phrase prayer prophesied next chart in verses 5, 6, 13, and that's all it is. I didn't say it was referred to, I said it was proven by. Referred to doesn't mean anything. What is relevant is something proven by. Then he mentioned his first speech, but I didn't have time to get to it last time. He said, "Have," and he gave an illustration of the Lord's Supper. He mentioned about, well, if you reading a passage about the Lord's Supper and it mentions the bread and the fruit of the vine, wouldn't he conclude that bread and fruit of the vine were the elements? Well, not necessarily. Bread and fruit of the vine are mentioned a number of times in connection with the Lord's Supper, but that fact, just the fact that they're mentioned in and of itself, does not necessarily prove anything. It doesn't prove that the bread and the fruit of the vine are the elements. You know how you prove that? Because he said, eat the bread and drink the fruit of the vine. That proves the elements. The fact that they're mentioned doesn't prove a thing. Does not even indicate a thing. Is not a clue about anything. For example, he mentions the word hunger twice in 1 Corinthians 11. Does that prove that it's the Lord's Supper to satisfy our hunger? No. And prove just because it's mentioned twice. Actually, what it teaches is you're not supposed to eat the Lord's Supper because of your hunger. And so you have to look at the relation of the words to the context. It doesn't prove anything, just the fact that the word hunger is in there twice. I've already been through that on my last chart. Tell me number 39. As a matter of fact, we're still discussing verses 5 and 6, where he mentioned that the hair was mentioned three times there. Of course, the word woman and man is in there a bunch of times too. Mr. Jesus admits that 1 Corinthians 11, verse 6 does not teach that long hair is the only covering. This verse only proves that uncovered is different than, but just as bad as shorter shaved. Mr. Jesus admits that 1 Corinthians 11, 6 does not, by itself, teach that long hair is the only covering necessary for woman. Here is my question for you, from Mr. Jesus. Does this verse, verse 6, by itself, teach conclusively that the hair is the covering of verses 5 through 6? He said no. See, throughout this passage, this does not prove it. And I agree with that. It does not prove it. Put up number 40. We're going to show what it actually does say with this chart. And we're going to do that in answer to what you said about my chart 11. We'll put that up in just a moment. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 11, verse 6 carefully and see what it does teach and say. It says, for if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. Look carefully at it. Which one of the following does it actually teach? That to be covered is the same as having long hair? No. Doesn't it say? It teaches that uncovered is different than, but just as bad as shorn or shaven. That's what it teaches. It does not teach this. That would be an assumption for anybody to say it teaches that. It teaches this. That's clear. And it does teach that uncovered is different than shorn or shaven. And we're going to, that's going to be necessary to show you that in the next chart. Everybody look at this. It does, and he said it didn't teach that uncovered was different or shorn or shaven. But it does. It proves it beyond a shadow of doubt. Look at it. It says, for if the woman be not covered, let her also, get the word also, be shorn. Let her also be shorn. You know what that proves beyond a shadow of a doubt? That uncovered is different than shorn. If I say I have an elephant, but I also have a giraffe, that proves they're different. You see that? When he says, if a woman is uncovered, let her also be shorn, the word also proves that uncovered is different than shorn. And he said it didn't on your last page. Maybe it was a slip of the tongue, but you said that when you brought up number 11. And uncovered is not different than shorn. But the verse teaches that it does. It says, uncovered, also be shorn. They are different. Now Tommy put up my number 11. And let's look at number 11, because I believe he just missed it on this chart because he didn't recognize the fact that uncovered was different than shorn in the passage proof. He said, well, what was already admitted, shaven, shorn or shaven, he agreed with that. And he said, and then what Paul was trying to teach, uncovered, he agreed with that. But he said, uncovered's not different than shaven or shorn. Well, yes, it is, Mr. Jenkins, it is different. It says, if she's uncovered, let her also be shorn. That proves it's not just me saying it. It's not just me saying it. That is true. That is true. Also be shorn. Uncovered is different than be shorn. And so here's the thing that the Corinthians already admitted. They admitted that shorn, shaven was wrong. Shorn or shaven was wrong. And Paul said, hey, uncovered is just as bad as shaven. Now, for the fact you know this is wrong, now you ought to know this is wrong. That proves that uncovered is different than shaven. It also proves that uncovered is different than shorn or shaven. Because he said, if you're uncovered, let it also be shorn. It's just as bad as being shorn or shaven. And then he appeals to the fact they already believe that a woman ought to have long hair and says, that should teach you that a woman ought to be covered when she prays. Okay? That shows that uncovered is different than not having long hair. Now raise it up just a little bit. So uncovered is different than shaven. Uncovered is different than shorn or shaven. It's uncovered, and I have this word in front, is different than not having long hair. You believe that uncovered is not having long hair. But this chart, or the Bible, shows that it's different. In other words, covered is different than long hair. Just like uncovered is different than shorn, Also, if you look at the passage all the way through, you see that uncovered is different than having not having long hair. It's a consistency argument. Or covered is different than long hair. In all three cases, Paul is trying to prove something, true thing, that is the covering, based on something already known, admitted to, agreed to. Truth B. Truth B is short wrong, shaking wrong, and not having long hair wrong. And that shows truth A is different than truth B, and so cover is different than long hair. Next chart, coming. Number five, but take it off for now because I got more of his speech I have to get to. Then he mentioned Mark 11, verse 25. Mark 11, 25 again. We've already been through that, and you can turn there. Everybody turn to Mark 11, 25. He still seems to be missing the point when he says, oh, but you forgive on other occasions. Exactly. I keep saying that's right, Mr. Jenkins. That's not the point. And whenever you say that, you either indicate that you're ignoring what I'm saying or you just indicate that you're missing the point. I'm not saying that this proves that you're not supposed to forgive on other occasions. I'm saying this proves that you can forgive on the occasion of when you stand praying. And it proves that it's not something permanent like long hair. It wouldn't make any sense to say when you stand praying, have long hair. That wouldn't make any sense. Other passages tell you to forgive at other times. But there is not any other passage other than 1 Corinthians 11, 5, 6, 13, and so forth that tells you to have the cataclysmal covering other than when you pray or prophesy. No passage, and I'm including verse 16 in 1 Corinthians 11, tells you to have the cataclysmal covering other than when you pray or prophesy. Now, you can forgive on an occasion, can't you? Can't you forgive on an occasion? We'll look at Mark 11, 45. You forgive whenever somebody repents. You can wear a veil on an occasion. You can wear a veil when you pray or prophesy. But you cannot have long hair just for an occasion. You cannot do that. Now, Mr. Jenkins said that you could in his last speech. First time I believe he said that. He said, having long hair is something that can be done on an occasion. Some occasions are longer than others. I believe everybody in the audience knows that is patently false. You can't have long hair for an occasion. It doesn't depend upon it. It depends upon how long the occasion is. We know how long the occasion is. Praying or prophesying. Can you have the long hair for the occasion of praying or prophesying? Just answer the question in your own heart. Honestly answer that question. You can't have the long hair for the occasion of praying or prophesying. Tommy, put up number... I don't remember, so we're going to number five. Come back. Now, here is the main argument I made last night. I have 5 minutes left, and I want to bring it back up. I believe I've been through all of his speech. As for 6:12, when Mordecai came again to the king's gate, Haman hasted to his house mourning and having his head covered. Here was my question. Raise it up, Tommy. My question for Mr. Jenkins, raise it up. Was Haman's head covering, as for 6:12, an artificial covering, or was it hair? He said artificial covering. Most importantly, how do you know which one it was? Because having his head covered is associated with mourning. M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G. Therefore, the indication is that the covering was something he put on for the occasion. Do you agree with Mr. Jenkins on that? Now, I'm showing what Mr. Jenkins says, but really I'm trying to appeal to the audience. Do you agree with that? I'm proving something. I'm proving my position based on something Mr. Jenkins said, but maybe you don't agree with Mr. Jenkins. Do you agree with that? That you can tell that Esther or that Haman's head covering was artificial because it was associated with mourning, therefore you know he put it on for occasion? Y'all agree with that? Mr. Jenkins says, I agree with it. Now notice why I believe that the woman's covering of 1 Corinthians 11, 5 is an artificial covering. Because having her head covered is associated with praise. Therefore, the indication is that the covering was something she put on for the occasion. The exact same words. That's my whole point. And he admitted identically the same reasoning when you apply it to Esther. But he won't admit it when you apply the very same reasoning to 1 Corinthians 11, verse 5. Tommy, next chart. There'll be 59. He said in our last debate, I don't remember if he said it so far in this debate, but he said in our last debate, that Pat, I agree with that argument. Here's the quote that said that I agree with the argument that the covering or the covering first thing that's left by is to be put on for an occasion. But I just disagree with the occasion. Remember, his occasion is whenever a woman is in subjection. My occasion is praying or prophesying. Raise it up. So Mr. Jenkins admits that my proposition is proven if the occasion for the cataclysmal covering is praying or prophesying, as I believe, and not whenever a woman is in subjection to man, as he believes. Now, I've tried to present some arguments showing that his position is not true. And I'll just let you be the judge. By looking at the passage, everybody look at 1 Corinthians 11, verse 5, or verse 4, whichever one you care to do. I'm going to just let the audience decide. Because that's what we're here for anyway, to let the audience decide. My position is true. I believe it is admitting. If I can prove the occasion for the cataclysmal covering, it's praying or prophesying. His position is true if the occasion for it is subjection to man. Now let's look at verse 4. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonors his head. Now, audience, what is the occasion? Is it praying or prophesying? Praying or prophesying? Or is it whenever a woman should be in subjection? Which one? Now, can you tell why I believe that the occasion is praying and prophesying? Can you tell? Now, do you think I would check this box when I looked at this verse? Would anybody here look at this verse and check this box except Mr. Jenkins? I don't know how anybody could check this box and look at this verse. You would have to check this box and admit that if you check this box, then my proposition is proven. Comment number six. Is this my second speech or my third speech? Okay, thank you. Now, I want to show another argument, very similar to the other one. The time, I mentioned this last night, the time regulation is different for the Catalupo covering than the parable lion covering. I want to illustrate this first, the everyday illustration. Raise it up high. Leah, that's my little girl, 3.5 years old, is allowed to play north of the house all of the time. Leah is only allowed to play in the pasture when mommy or daddy is with her, and that's the truth. She can play north of the house without it, but she can't play in the pasture unless mommy or daddy are with her. Can you tell that north of the house and in the pasture, two different places? Well, it could be the pasture I'm talking about north of the house. Could be. But you can tell that it's not because the time regulation is different. I'm allowing her to play north of the house without us there, but I'm not allowing her to play in the pasture without us there. That shows the pasture and north of the house are two different things because the time regulation is different. Now go to the vegetable garden illustration. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 5. Does it require the covering, catapulto covering, in the vegetable garden? No. It requires it when you pray to prophesy. What about the parable lion covering in 1 Corinthians 11:15? Is it required when a woman's in the vegetable garden? Yes. Now, the same reasoning, then, that you told about Leah, the pasture in the north of the house being different, you can tell that coverings are different. The time regulation is totally different. One is all the time. One is when she prays or prophesies. Thank you. Hey, Robert, if I go past my time, I'm looking at you. I just knock on the wood next to you, okay? Thank you.